margins to discuss. I'd like to ask for a motion to approve the March 28, 2017 meeting minutes.
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded. Please vote. Motion passes. Now we have one item to be removed from the final agenda, which is 45 Ship Watch Road. Is there anybody here to speak on that issue?
Mr. Chairman, I spoke to the petitioner for that item. They request that the item be continued until the May meeting. If you all recall, they were heard at our last meeting, and based on the advice of Mr. Kirkland, they've chosen to try to come back with some design alternatives for the proposed enclosure of their deck. They haven't completed that yet, so they requested that the meeting be the hearing be continued till then.
Okay. We have nothing on the consent agenda, nothing on old business, so let's move on to the regular slate of business, which is the first item is 11 Government Road. I'll turn it over to Mr. Watson for staff presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The property that we're here to talk about today is located at 11 Government Road. The petitioner is requesting a 20-foot front yard setback variance from the 55-foot requirement for the purpose of constructing a new single-family residence. You all probably remember this property, or the adjacent properties at least, because these two properties adjacent to it, Lot 30 and Lot 39, were before you in 2014 and 15 for a similar variance request. The property owner is requesting the variance in order to establish a single-family residence on Lot 40, as seen on this tax map. Government Road is probably calling it a road is being a little aggressive. If you're familiar with it, it's about generously probably 15 feet wide. It's unpaved, and there's a number of existing, six, I believe, existing platted lots on this property. In this aerial photograph, you can see Government Road located right here. These are the two residences that I mentioned to you before that have been constructed recently, and this is the subject property. And the road does dead end at that location. This is a sketch of what the petitioner is proposing. In the sketch, you can see that Government Road is located here, and this is the existing 55-foot setback as measured from the center line of the road. The proposal is to bring the property forward and allow 35-foot setback. And as you can see, although there's room to move the home back to the rear yard setback, that would put it out of line with the adjacent properties that were previously constructed. Staff believe that based on the width of the road and the development pattern of the other homes on Government Road, that it was appropriate to recommend approval for a variance in this case. Happy to answer any questions.
No questions? Can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Good morning.
I guess I have to swear you in. Will you swear to tell the truth?
Yes, sir.
And please give us your name.
Jeff Whitlow. I'm the owner's representative.
Anything you want to add to it?
I was the builder of the other two homes This lot does have more depth than the other lots, so as Marcus said, it does appear we have room to slide back, but our interest was to keep aligned with the other homes that had already been built, which were what had less depth.
And were there, is that all you want to say, or do you have anything else? No. I guess questions, I'm sorry, I can ask questions. No. The question, I had a question. No. How did the other two houses that you built get brought forward? Did you have a zoning?
Yes, we
I can't think of the word I want to use, zoning.
Appeal.
Appeal, variance. Did you have a zoning variance for those?
Yes, we went through the same process as today.
Okay. And we approved it.
And we approved it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anybody, anything else? Thank you. How about anybody from the audience wishing to speak on this matter? And I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the setback.
Second.
It's properly moved and seconded. Please go to the board to vote. Motion has been approved. Thank you. Hurry up, you're behind schedule. Moving along, the next item for discussion is 6 Turtle Lane.
You've got mail.
I'm sorry. I'll turn it over to staff. Turn off my phone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next item, 6 Turtle Lane, the petitioner is requesting a 3-foot side yard setback from the 20-foot requirement for the expansion of an existing single-family residential structure. This is a tax map of the subject property on Turtle Lane, which is in the Landing subdivision. The rear of the property abuts the Magnolia Golf Course. The petitioner's intent is to construct an addition by expanding the existing attached garage to accommodate golf cart storage and additional storage. The proposed addition is 230 square feet in size and will be on the east side of the residence. The subject property does abut a single-family residential property immediately east of it, as you'll see in some of the photographs that have been provided. But there is a substantial vegetated buffer between the subject property proposed expansion area, which is shown in the diagram here, and the adjacent property. This is a view from the neighbor's side yard. As you can see, the proposed addition, the construction will be in line with the existing home in terms of the roof structure. And this is a sketch showing the additional square footage that will be added to the existing garage. As I typically mention, this property, as I mentioned, is in the Landings. The Architectural Review Board has provided conditional approval. The variance request and any action by this board is not contingent upon that, but I'd like to make you all aware of that. This type of construction is typical within this particular subdivision and is in keeping with the adjoining properties. Based on these findings, staff is recommending approval of a 3-foot side yard setback variance.
Any questions of staff? Staff. Can we hear from the petitioner, please? Not here. Anybody wishing to speak on this issue? Would you please swear to tell the truth, please?
Yes, sir.
And give us your name.
Bob Gardner.
Okay.
As eloquently presented, we're just bumping the garage out 7 feet. It allows me to park a golf cart garage, which I currently don't have. And my neighbor's fence is actually still 20 feet away from that structure. So it's, you know, it's well hidden. It's in keeping with the structure. It will look like it never, it was always there. So I'd sure like to get it approved. Thank you.
Any questions of the petition? None? Do we have anybody to speak on this matter in the audience? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion has been properly made and seconded. Ask you to vote, please. Motion passes. Next item on the agenda is 29 River Watch Road. Let's hear from staff, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This request before you at this time is related to the marsh buffer requirement for Chatham County. The petitioner is requesting a 21-foot variance from the 35-foot requirement of the ordinance for the development of a single-family residence on the subject property, which you can see is Lot 36 at the end of River Watch Drive. This property is in the Moon River Landing subdivision and is approximately 1/5 acre in size. And I've got a number of exhibits here that I'm going to share with you. This is a bit of a interesting circumstance. This is an aerial photograph of the property, which is the undeveloped lot here. As you can see, it's encumbered on two sides by marsh. And in addition to that, there's an existing paved pedestrian path and sort of a viewing area located here that apparently was installed at some point by the developer of the property. It's not on the property on this property, but I just want to note that exists along the eastern boundary of the property. These are some photographs of the lot here from the cul-de-sac. This is the lot where a photograph where you can see the beginning of the walking trail that I described to you. And this is along the trail going down to the water, to the sort of viewing area. This is looking back toward the cul-de-sac. The petitioner's site plan shows the location of the proposed structure. And you can see the encroachment line essentially is here, the marsh buffer. It does meet, the proposed structure would meet the marsh buffer along the rear of the property, but it does encroach at this location. I should also mention that, and we've had a circumstance like this at a recent hearing, that it's my understanding, and I might ask Mr. Kirkland to correct me if I'm wrong, but the state water buffer is not applicable due to the percentage of property that's encumbered by marsh. Apparently there's a regulation associated with that, if you want to take a minute on that, Jeff.
Yes, that's correct. Is this thing on? All right. It's on, but it's not picking up. This particular property meets the...
Why don't you go up to the podium so we can...
Sure. This particular property meets the exemption that's set forth in the new state waters buffer rules that were adopted at the beginning of the year, in which properties where more than 18% of the buildable area is encumbered by the buffer are exempt from the state waters buffer, so the 25-foot buffer from the jurisdictional determination. However, the county buffer would still be applied in this case.
How about saying that one more time?
Okay, so
I understood that.
Right, on this property, there are two potential buffers, both measured from the Coastal Resources Division jurisdictional determination. One would be the 25-foot state waters buffer that is applied during construction activities, and one is the 35-foot county riparian buffer. In this case, because the state waters buffer would take up more than 18% of the buildable area, it is exempt from the state waters buffer, the 25-foot buffer. However, the county riparian buffer may still apply.
When you say may still apply?
Well, I mean, it still applies, but...
Okay.
And are both of those buffers illustrated on the plat there?
Let's see. Only the riparian, the county riparian buffer is illustrated there. And I did confirm this with a field visit. My letter is available to you on your computer.
Any other questions? I assume you agree to tell the truth. Raise your hand.
Always.
Raise your hand.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, how did the common area walkway get put in the buffer?
I have no idea. The conditions that I observed are what was on the exhibits here. The walkway was in place.
Doesn't that violate the Boca County ordinance and the state?
It's possible it does. I have no record of a request for a buffer determination for that construction. It's possible that it was constructed under the agreement. When they did the original development, they may have had an agreement with the state to install that. But yeah, I mean, it could potentially be a violation.
Does it show on their original site plan for the subdivision?
I haven't looked at the subdivision plan.
Isn't that something the Yo department would have reviewed?
Possibly.
Before it was approved?
Possibly. I can go back to the office and do some research, but
I'd like to recommend that you come back next week or next month and give a report on that.
With the about the walkway? Sure. I can see if that was originally planned or not.
Thank you.
And how that got through? If it wasn't part of the original subdivision plan.
Right.
And if it was, why nobody caught that?
Okay, any other questions?
If we changed the riparian buffer countywide to 35 feet a few years ago, is that correct? Would this house be intruding in the old 25 foot? It would?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you. Robert, you have more staff information? You swear to tell the truth?
I do.
In your name?
Robert Seba. I just wanted to make a comment that flat work is not something that we would typically permit. So it's entirely possible that the contractor did this, and we would have no way of knowing that it was done until somebody noticed it was there, whether it was on a approved site plan or not.
It should have been shown on the subdivision plan if it was going to be a subdivision.
It may have been on the development plans, but once again, like Jeff said, we'd have to research that. But like I said, typically, for example, we don't review sidewalks, driveways, patios. So any flat work like that is not something that would require a permit, so there's no way we would be aware that it was being done.
It looks fairly new.
It does. But once again, without more information, we can't say for sure how or why it was built.
It disturbs me that it clearly violates the buffer requirement.
Understand. That was my first thought when I saw it.
Marcus, would you make this as a item of business for next meeting.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Let's see, where are we? Do we have the petitioner here, I guess?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was the first thing when I saw that. I'm going, how did it get there? Yeah. But we don't do permits for that, so.
We don't either.
I understand.
Mr. Yellen, I understand that attorneys are always supposed to tell the truth. Is
we
that
are,
correct? Would you mind just reminding me again by saying so? Thanks, sir.
I will absolutely swear to tell the truth.
Thank you.
Thank you, integrity. I'm here today for the petitioner, Steve Holst. I think there's a small typo in your staff report. It says Hoist, but it's Holst, Steve Holst. The property is located, as Mr. Lawson mentioned, at 29 River Watch Road. What's immediately apparent about the property, which makes it just a little bit different, is that there are two marsh setbacks. Most folks who enjoy living on the river in Savannah have one. When your house backs up to the river, you have that line. And as you can see, the house has actually been designed to comply with that setback. That is the 35-foot marsh setback. What this property also has is another 35-foot setback, which is very different. This was the line that the property owner thought they had, which was the 10-foot building setback, which predated both the 25 and the 35. So this property has been owned by the Holst for quite some time. And so as they've held this property, they've watched it as it has had layer upon layer of regulation. In this case, both the 25 and the 35. My understanding is the same as yours. The 25-foot state regulation does not apply. The 35-foot marsh setback does apply. But it applies not just on one place, but on two places. And so we're more than able to handle this one. But when you add this one and this one, it makes the lot significantly smaller than it used to be. The side from which we're asking for a variance is the side that already has improvements within what is called, we believe, the common area. I can only assure this group that we did not build those improvements. We don't know when they were built. We don't know how they were built. I was just asking Mr. Lawson before I walked up here, I don't even know if there's an exception to the rule when you put in sidewalks. And there are three things. There's sidewalks, there's a trash can, and then there's like a little sitting area at the end. Those are the three improvements. I don't know what the rules are for 35-foot marsh setbacks, whether those are exceptions for recreation. If it's a picnic area, I don't have that answer. What we do know is it's there. Two things. It's there, and we didn't put it there. I kept it very clear. So we're not asking for a variance here. We feel like we're like everyone else, whether it's on the Wilmington River or Skidaway River, be 35 feet back, and we are. We have two sides we have to contend with, and the side that already has the improvements is the side we're asking for a variance from. Mr. Lawson came to the conclusion that we did, that it's an extraordinary condition that would limit the usability of our property, and that, of course, this is peculiar to this property. I've only been before you one other time with a two-sided marsh, and this group, it was a different composition, but a variance was also granted when a petitioner was forced to work with two different setbacks on two sides of the four sides. So we would respectfully request that our variance be granted. We would encourage you to continue your pursuit of what happened on the side. If all that comes out, it would not hurt our feelings at all. But it wouldn't change the fact that we still need a variance from that eastern side of our property. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Young.
Thank you, Mr. Young.
Anybody here to speak on this matter in the audience? Having none?
I do have one question for Mr. Young. The residence immediately to the left that has a wooden stripe design, any comment from what's going to be the neighbor there?
I think Mr. Lawson said he received a phone call. I'll let Mr. Lawson answer that question.
I did receive a phone call from the property owner requesting information regarding this petition. We forwarded him the file because he lives out of town, at least partially, I guess, this time of year. And after review of the file, he was fine with it, but he did not oppose it because the encroachment was not on his side, so to speak, of the property.
Any other questions? I'll entertain a motion.
I move we allow a 10-foot variance.
Do I have a second to that?
I'll second that.
For the spirit of discussion.
Any discussion? All right, I guess you call the question, right?
Okay,
yeah.
I'll discuss it if somebody wants to discuss it.
Yeah, I'm interested in your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I need to convey to the client why there's a reduction, so please.
Well, you're out of order.
For the first time today.
Won't be the last.
I hope not.
I respectfully say that, sir.
The problem here was the developer developing a lot that could not have appropriate buffers. And they knew what the buffers were when they set out to design this residence and made no effort to stay within the 35-foot. To get them 10 feet lets them build something there, but doesn't completely cover over the entire marsh buffer. And we have taken the position in the last couple of years that we're not going to give marsh buffer variances unless absolutely necessary. And I can't see if this is absolutely necessary. If we give them 10 feet, that at least goes to the old state line and the old county line. And that gives them some relief, but it doesn't completely ignore the buffer requirement. It might as well say there is no buffer requirement.
My comment would be, if I'm understanding the chronology correctly, when these owners purchased this lot, the line that existed at the time would have left them in compliance. It's the subsequent regulation and moving of the line that has now put them in this position.
Yes, sir. We moved from the green line to the orange line.
I have a question for Jeff. When this development was planned, did the Chatham County go out there and approve lots or lot lines or any?
I would have to do some research because I believe this was laid out before I started with the county. So I can't give you an answer and be certain about it, but I can find out for you.
What year did we initiate marsh buffer 25-foot setbacks?
The 25-foot...
2001.
Bob, you may be able to answer
2001, I believe.
2001.
Okay.
So the property was purchased before then, Mr. Young?
That's my understanding. And it was subdivided as part of this neighborhood before then. There was at least, according to Mr. Holt, the buildable lot they thought they were working with was the green line. And over time, as y'all all know, there have been a number of changes, both the state rule, county rule, and then county came back and did the compromise, the 35. So, this is unusual, admittedly. We don't know who put in the improvements to our east. They're just there. They're a given. And if y'all want to take action to get them removed, I think my clients would probably be relieved not having people walk by the side of their house all day and night. But what we have is the improvements that are there. And we don't think that having this variance in any way interferes with anyone. And I understand Mr. Blackburn's wanting to reduce it, but that's tantamount to saying no. It's virtually the same thing as saying don't do it.
My feeling, and I seconded his motion, is somebody has already breached the setback, and that's not what's at issue here today. What is at issue is should we continue to ignore the setback? And my feeling is no, we can't. And a 10-foot variance is allowing the owner a little more than the ordinance requires now.
Any other discussion?
Harold, is the green line at 25?
That was the original line given to me by Alton Brown when they purchased the property. Hold on, not here. This is the original setback. It talks about the original building setbacks, which, no, they're not the original 25. It says, this appears the original subdivision setbacks, which to me means it must have predated both state and county setbacks.
Zoom it in.
Could we defer this and get more information from Mr. Kirkland and possibly Mr. Yellen on what, when they purchased this lot, what was in fact the lines, the property lines, and...
It looks like 8 feet.
Because I quite frankly don't understand how anybody could ever build anything on this lot.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the lines were.
But I think that's happened. I think people who bought lots many years ago, what they bought and what they have now aren't the same. That's true for both marsh setbacks. It's true of wetlands regulation. I can't tell you how many property owners I know who thought they had 100 acres and now they have 18. Things change over time with regulation. I fear that's what's happened here. These folks bought this lot with the intention to pack up from Atlanta and move to Savannah and make this their home. And now what they have as a buildable lot isn't what they thought they had. As far as it hasn't come before you more often, but what usually happens, I think, is you get requests for one side. Typically when you build on the river, there's one side that you have to contend with, and that's what these folks did. They literally designed their building so that it jags like this, an unusual back of the property, in order to meet that orange line, which is the 35-foot marsh setback. I think they more than adequately handled the 35-foot. The problem is still just this side, and there's no place to go. We've tried to move this thing around, we've spun it around, we've rotated it around, and ultimately the folks as property owners have a certain kind of home they want to build, and at some point they're just completely changing that home that they've always wanted to build. And that's why I understand that adding 10 feet, but somewhere that 10-foot line, I'm guessing, just goes right through the heart of the house.
Any other discussion? I'm inclined also to agree with you. I think this is an important issue. We're going to be setting a precedent, perhaps, by voting in favor of this. I'm not even sure how Mr. Blackburn came up with 10 feet. I don't know why he didn't say 9 feet or 11 feet. But I think it needs a little bit more information before we can make a credible vote on this. We have a motion that's been seconded, and I need some parliamentary help here. If the thought of the body would want to continue, so how do we move this motion forward?
Well, I think what we do is continue the...
Well, we need to deal with the motion and the dispensing.
Call that question.
Then we have to withdraw it?
Well, we continue the public hearing on this matter for...
But we have to dispense with your motion.
Well, we can dispense with it.
Will you withdraw it?
Mr. Continuance takes priority over any prior motion filed, so a continuance would be heard first. At least at the NPC level, a continuance always takes priority over a motion.
Okay, thank you.
Continue the public hearing.
So do I need a motion for that, for a continuance, I guess?
I will still move. We continue the public hearing for 1 month.
I'll second.
To the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Okay. And before we vote, I'm wondering out loud, Mr. Yellen, if we could also ask your petitioner to look at what a 10-foot variance might do to their design. And with the consideration that that may be what we come back with, and you be prepared to say that's absolutely destroys the value of the property.
I will do that, and also for Mr. Blackburn, I'll see if I can pull their title file. I was not the closing attorney. Let me see how far back in time I can go.
I think this property was developed in the 2004-05 area, I believe. This is Moon River, isn't it?
It is Moon River.
And I think the Lewises were the developing entity, as I recall.
Yes, sir. I think it was the Lewis family. Okay. Let me see if I can get as much information as I can, and I'll bring it back in a moment.
Okay. I have a motion and properly seconded. Please go to the computers to vote.
Next month, I'm curious about the relative percentages of this lot, square footage wise, that have been affected by these various setbacks from the time these owners bought the property until now. You understand my question? The percentage of the lot that has been taken up by these various riparian right lines.
Just a before and after.
The before and after.
Yes. Motion passes. Next item is 144 Whistling Duck Court. Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, the next item on the agenda is a petition related to property at 144 Whistling Duck Court. The petitioner is requesting a 15.5-foot rear yard setback variance from the 25-foot requirement of the zoning ordinance. You can see the subject property located here on Whistling Duck Court. This is an existing single-family residence which was constructed in 2012. It's approximately 2,800 square feet in size and is built on a lot that's approximately 6,600 square feet. There is an existing uncovered deck on the rear of the property, and the petitioner's intent is to, their request is related to enclosing the existing uncovered deck, which based on the current location will constitute an encroachment. This is a sketch of the residence and the deck, as you can see here. The deck is approximately 29 feet in length and 15 feet deep, and they're planning to enclose the entire deck, which would create an additional 435 square feet of covered space for the home. I do want to mention a couple of things because I've had some conversations with the property owner just as of this morning. They were traveling out of the country during the essentially since the time that this was filed, so I had been unable to speak to them specifically or gain access to the property, but they did provide me some photographs that I didn't have before that I want to share with you now, just to give a better perspective on what and where they're proposing it. And before I get into that, I just want to say that the Teddy Village subdivision where this property is located consists primarily of, I think completely actually, of two-story single-family homes. Most of the lots are in the 6,000 square foot range. And one of the concerns that we had was the lot coverage for this property. And we don't have a survey, but based on the information that's available to us, enclosing this deck would put this pretty close to 40%, which is the maximum lot coverage that's permitted. This is a typical pattern in terms of the location of the house on the lot within the subdivision. Based on that finding and the finding that the remaining distance between what would be the home and the rear property line was a more of an encroachment without really cause that made sense as far as that was concerned, we would recommend a denial of the variance request. The lot that you see on the other side of the fence, which I'll show you in an aerial photograph, is actually a single family lot that has the rear of it is not developed. Let me show you that. So the subject property is located here. This lot, actually, there's a house just off the map about here. And the rest of this, you know, is, as you can see, is heavily wooded. This lot is similar to what this lot that is now Tabby Village subdivision used to look like. So it's our belief that eventually this is likely to redevelop very similar to Tabby Village.
How wide is it?
Sir?
How wide is it?
The subject property or the adjacent lot?
The adjoining lot.
I'm going to give you an educated guess here. It's probably about 350 feet, but I can get some more specific information on that. It's 4 acres essentially in size.
Is it wide enough to stick a 60-foot road in the middle of it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And have lots on both sides?
Yes. I believe you could redevelop this for single family. Based on these findings, as I mentioned, we recommend a denial, but,
is that the...
Looks more like 200 feet.
200 feet.
Yeah.
200 feet.
221.5 feet. Approximately. This is another photograph of the rear of the house where the existing deck is located.
And is that fence on the rear lot line?
It is. So as I mentioned early on, the existing uncovered deck, although it's within the setback, does not constitute an encroachment if it is enclosed. And we haven't seen elevations of what's proposed. But once you enclose it, then it becomes an encroachment. So,
and the square footage of the house without the deck is?
Is 2,800 roughly square feet.
And are there any other houses in this development that have encroached to this degree or have additions?
There is a house that is similar, 4 or 5 lots down. And I don't know if we can see it from the aerial, but let's see. That has a enclosed deck. And there's also a house on this street down at the cul-de-sac that has a pool that may be encroaching. And I can't say that with specificity, but if you can kind of see here.
That's the pool.
That's the pool.
Looks like.
And I'm sure that it's encroaching. And I don't know what the permit status of that is. It's sometimes, you know, those things are unknown in terms of whether or not the person got the proper permit and how much it relates to this, to what this petitioner is asking for.
I mean, this house appears to be situated further back on the lot than the other houses as well.
It looks bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions of staff? May we hear from the petitioner, please?
I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
Did I understand that you said staff was originally recommending denial? Did you change based on your conversations with the owners this morning?
No, we did not. We did have a conversation with the property owner regarding our recommendation and what the process was, and because she has literally just got back into the country this morning, so she's a little behind the curve on this process and what's going to happen today. So I just wanted to make sure she was aware of how everything was going to work. But our recommendation stands in terms of the rear yard setback request.
Thank you.
Anybody else have a question? Does the petitioner have a representative here?
She's here.
Okay.
She represents herself.
I'm sorry. I thought you were still getting back.
No. Few hours ago.
Would you swear to tell the truth, please, and give us your name?
Yes, sir. I do. Melissa Stay. So, as Mr. Marcus has explained, that is our home there. There are other homes in there that are of similar size. They kind of go around the curve. There is a property that was approved by the board in November. It was on lot 108, not lot, address was 108. So, it's more than several doors down. You actually can't see it on the map. They added an approximately 800 square foot deck covered porch to their backyard that encroached far into the line as well, which in rough estimations put their property total percentage at approximately 43% to 50% of property enclosure versus the space, which we are looking at putting ours right at 40. It's 40.2 with the additional roof over for the deck. So we kindly ask the board to approve it as opposed to deny it, considering that it has already been approved in the past for something very similar and larger than what we're requesting.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay, questions of the petitioner? Hearing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody in the audience to speak on behalf or against this petition? Hearing none, I'll have the questions of the board, if any. None.
Can we get clarification on the petitioner's point regarding the supposedly previously approved property?
What about that, Marcus?
Can you repeat that, please?
Can you help clarify the point the petitioner made about a previously approved covered deck encroaching?
Yes, she mentioned to me this morning when we spoke that there was another property down the street that there was an approved variance was approved, but I haven't had the opportunity to research that particular item and verify whether or not it, you know, how much it encroached and what the board's rationale was for approving it. But that very well may be the case. I just haven't had the opportunity to do any research on that.
Okay. My inclination is to continue this one as well and determine whether it was a valid variance or not, and then reconsider it next month. Everybody disagree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Marcus?
Yes, sir.
Where generally is this subdivision located?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is off of it's a Sandfly, essentially, or what we call Sandfly, I guess. Show you a better.
It's off of Norwood.
It's off of Norwood.
Off of Norwood, yeah. Right. On the west side of Norwood. This might show it better. I thought it was in a little more, but Norwood is essentially at the head of the subdivision. It's a one street cul-de-sac subdivision that abuts Norwood.
May I have a motion for continuing?
I'll second.
In proper move and second, please go to your computers to vote. Motion passes. Next item on our agenda is 1955 East Montgomery Crossroads.
Excuse me. Do you understand that we're going to get more information and you will meet with us again next month?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I was going to ask you if there was anything that I needed to do. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome home. Thank you.
Okay, 1955, Mr. Watson.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. This request at 1955 East Montgomery Crossroads is a request to vary the maximum permitted signage for fascia signage. This is for the Walmart store that is on this property. You can see here at the intersection, essentially, of Montgomery Crossroad and the northbound Truman off-ramp. Petitioner is requesting a variance to permit a 25-foot square foot fascia sign for a new tenant within the existing store. Currently, the Walmart store has 443 square feet of building signage for the various things that they advertise on the building. The maximum permitted amount of building signage is 450 square feet. So they're just slightly under what's permitted. Apparently they've got a new tenant, Navy Federal Credit Union, that is going to be established within the Walmart store, and they're requesting a variance to permit this new sign that you see right here on the building. This is the front of the existing Walmart. You can see their existing fascia signage located in various locations here, and the proposed signage for the new tenant. Based on the mass of the building, the scale, if you will, of the store, the additional signage staff found is not likely to cause any negative visual impacts. Also considering the amount of percentage overall increase, which is about 4%, staff is recommending approval of the additional sign area for 1955 East Montgomery Crossroads.
Questions to staff?
And Marcus, this is only the fascia sign on the building?
Yes, sir. This is not, would not permit not any additional freestanding signage, only on the building.
And would you repeat the numbers of what is allowed and how much over they're requesting?
The maximum that's permitted is 450 square feet. They've got currently 443 square feet, so they're requesting 25 additional square feet.
Thank you, Mr. Watson.
I'm sorry, let me just correct something. They're requesting 18 additional square feet over what's permitted.
Okay. May we hear from the petitioner, please?
Morning.
Swear to tell the truth and give us your name, please.
I do. Jeremy Inman with the sign company. And this is Sammy Solomon with the Navy Federal Credit Union.
Are you going to be testifying too?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
As Mark has already said, we're looking hopefully to get the 18 additional square feet. Obviously, Navy's going into the Walmart. They feel they need some type of visibility. At this time, they aren't going to have any. I think Walmart has an existing monument, and so they don't have a sign on that monument. So we feel to be able to be visible to the customers, they'd like to get the wall sign on the exterior of the building.
Can you show on that diagram of the building where it's going to go on the building?
So it's hard to see, but it's imposed to the left of the Walmart Supercenter sign. Mm-hmm.
This may not be a question that y'all can address, but does Walmart anticipate adding any more tenants?
To our knowledge, I believe they do not have any more tenant spaces. Sammy may be able to speak to that better.
There's only one vacant space in the entire Walmart right now, and that's the space that we're going to be occupying.
Okay.
And may I speak too? Is that okay? Can I have a couple things to that?
Certainly.
We currently have one office here in Savannah that serves all of the military in the Savannah market, and adding the second branch office is in business need to support the member mass in this area to serve our military, their family, and those that support the military in this vicinity. And branding is very important to us because we want members to be aware that we're going to be in that location, and without any form of a sign on the building, we feel it'll be very hard for members to be aware that we're going to be present in that location. So that is part of the consideration why we're asking for a sign today. Thank you.
Any other questions of the petitioner?
In terms of the design, the lettering and so on, I'm assuming that it looks like what's already on the facade of the building? I mean, I saw to the left things like, you know, produce and so on. Is it?
Yes, ma'am. It's they have standard channel letters with white letters. And as he showed the other page, it's basically a standard sign you would see on any Walmart.
Yeah, I saw the way it looked on their drawing, but I couldn't see how it compared to the existing signage.
Yes, it's very similar. They have white lighted channel letters, a white face, and our sign is basically exactly the same.
And we've already submitted these plans to Walmart for approval prior to coming before you today, and Walmart has approved the plans.
Any other questions?
Will it be lighted 24 hours a day?
It'll be powered and lit. All the signs will be the same, so they're all, we're going to be on a photo cell timer together, so when any of the other signs go off, this sign will go off as well. So they're all in sync together.
Any other questions? Thank you. Anybody here to speak on this matter? So I don't see anybody else out there. I'll entertain a motion, please.
I'll make a motion to approve the request.
Properly moved, properly seconded. Let's go to your computer to vote. Passes. Next item on our agenda is other business. Anybody have any other business to discuss? Jeff, you're here. You've got words of wisdom for us.
Nothing today. I think you heard me out of my mouth last month.
No, sir.
Any problems you want to bring up to us?
No comment.
Marcus?
I'm sorry, yes, sir.
We're on the other business. I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation.
No, sir.
Any other business that we need to discuss today?
Nothing from staff.
Thank you, everybody.
Nothing from staff?
Correct.
And I consider this meeting, from the board.
I have something I would like to discuss, but not on record, so you can end the meeting, and I think we need to talk about a couple of these issues.
Okay. Having no other, do you have something?
No.
Are you on?